This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And activists are asking for stricter laws and improved enforcement when it comes to animal rights and well-being. So we're getting into it. Now, this is following a series of reports on animal abuse cases. The latest, actually, involved an arrest of a man who was suspected of subjecting stray cats to cruelty. And if you've seen the photos or the videos of it, it's actually quite upsetting. He was caught on a storefront CCTV luring a cat to him, a cat that was minding its own business, luring a cat to him with food and then throwing a stone at its head while it was eating. The footage also showed him proceeding to the back alley of the premises to entice another cat, which he then kicked before leaving. And so looking at the situation and what needs to be done to enforce it, or what has been done, what parameters within the law there are. Speaking to FMT, animal rights lawyer Rajesh Nagarajan, who's also going to be our guest shortly, claimed that the Veterinary Services Department was extremely ineffective and slow when it comes to enforcing the Animal Welfare Act, and that this has spurred people on to behave in this way, I guess, and that the laws are not a deterrent because there haven't been sufficient enforcement. Meanwhile, Karen Lee of the activist group Give for Paws said that authorities need to ensure that offenders are appropriately punished. She did applaud the authorities for their swift action in this instance, but hoped that this kind of response would actually be the norm rather than an exception, and that animal cruelty shouldn't be taken lightly. She also urged the public to report or intervene in cases of abuse or neglect. So as we said earlier, right, it isn't just abuse that's in the headlines. The other facet of this is pets being abandoned. And of course, when we talk about abandonment, we're not necessarily saying, you know, if you responsibly leave your pet at a shelter because you can no longer care for them because you're leaving the country. Not abandonment in that sense. Abandonment as in you are abandoning your pet because you can no longer manage them or because you don't want them anymore, on the street and leaving them to fend for themselves. And so the Malaysian National Animal Welfare Foundation has proposed pet identification and legalization of pet ownership in high-rise buildings to counter this issue. They're engaging also with local councils on creating dog and pet parks in certain parts of the country. And their secretary said that these measures will tackle issues confronting domesticated animals, especially because since the start of the pandemic, I mean, this is something that we've seen, right? We have seen, on the one hand, adoption rates going up because people wanted companionship. And then you also saw abandonment rates going up, partly as people returned to work or as they realized that maybe having a pet was not something that they could accommodate at this moment in time. So this idea of how to give a sense of ownership, how to identify and legalize pets, it can be done in many ways. Embedded chips, for example, are the new norm. Chips can carry a single identification for a pet, which can then be scanned for an identity number, which would tie it back to the person who's responsible for it. So a few different things happening here, right, in terms of laws and enforcement for animal abuse, but also different policies or things or programs that need to be put in place to make pet abandonment, you know, not so rampant, or at least to have an element of punishment in there. So that's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you. What do you make of this? And should people who abandon their pets be punished? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Rajesh Nagarajan, an animal rights lawyer. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking today about the call for stricter laws and improved enforcement when it comes to animal rights and well-being. So issues that activists are hoping to address include instances of animal abuse, but also pet abandonment. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you think people who abandon their pets should be punished? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So taking us through this now is animal rights lawyer Rajesh Nagarajan. Rajesh, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn.
So, as I just said, we're talking about this today in response to several stories of animal abuse that have been happening. Have you yourself been hearing of an increase in cases of abuse and abandonment?
Yes, definitely. After the movement control order, there have been more cases of animal abandonment generally. But then this has been going on for quite some time with Malaysians, actually.
So how would you say the state of animal welfare is right now, right? How much consideration is actually being given in this?
You see, the state of animal welfare in Malaysia, there are two ways of looking at it. One is to look at the legal framework, and another is to look at what is actually happening on the ground. If you look at the legal framework, we have the Animal Welfare Act 2015. Now, that is a good piece of legislation which actually provides for the welfare of animals holistically, completely. The problem that we are facing is not the legal framework, but rather the execution on the ground. So all the stakeholders, in my opinion, are not playing their role to their most efficient way possible. It is just not good enough.
And who are the specific stakeholders that you're thinking about in this instance, right? Who are the people who need to be involved? What should be happening?
There are two major stakeholders when it comes to animal welfare in Malaysia. Three rather. The first is the Department of Veterinary Services. The second is the Animal Welfare Board. And the third are the privately funded NGOs and dog shelters, cat shelters, etc. Now, the third one is basically they're doing it out of their good intentions. So we have nothing nasty to say about them. They're actually very beautiful people. However, the first two, it is very sad to say that, especially the second one that I mentioned, the Animal Welfare Board, it does not seem to even exist. No one seems to know what they have done. They've been in existence for the past 7 years. And what have they done for the past 7 years? And if you just walk in the street and you speak to the people and you tell them, do you know about the Animal Welfare Board? I can guarantee you, no one knows about them. Even animal rights activists don't know that the Animal Welfare Board exists. So the question is, what have they done for animal welfare in the past 7 years? That's a huge question.
And if we break it down right to the incidents or the headlines that have prompted our show today. Firstly, a man was recently arrested on suspicion of abusing stray cats. How often do you come across incidents of cruelty to animals, particularly ones that actually have it documented in this form, right, where there's video and so on?
I have this NGO. It's called Lawyers for Animal Rights. And I receive complaints almost on a daily basis that there is a dog that's being abused, a cat that is being abused, down the street, my neighbor keeps his dog tied up, doesn't water the floor. The floor is in under the hot sun. Almost every day we have these complaints. And that's just me. There's so many other organizations out there, and I'm in touch with a lot of them. And this problem of animal cruelty is the norm in Malaysia. It's very, very sad to say it's the norm, but it does seem to be so. So how often do you come across the incident? The answer is too often.
Mm. And what do you think drives this sort of behavior and abuse, especially because, I mean, as we're talking, right, some of it involves stray animals, but others involve animals who are actually part and parcel of, like, you know, a household?
It's a bit difficult for me to answer this question due to the fact that I don't really know why these people go around abusing animals. There must be something wrong inside them, within them. They might have some psychological problems, or some seem to have financial problems or depression, and they are acting out in such a horrific way. But I think that no matter what motivates you to abuse an animal, it's just not acceptable. Your problems are yours. You can't take it out on a cat or a dog or some other animal. It's just not right. And if you do so, then you should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, because you are destroying the life of another being. And that's just not right.
Now, speaking of that prosecution, what laws do we currently have to address animal cruelty, and how have they been enforced?
As I mentioned just now, the main framework, the legal framework that we have in Malaysia is the Animal Welfare Act 2015. In particular, we have Section 29. Section 29 is an exhaustive section that deals with all manners and kinds of cruelty to animals. And your question is, how have they been enforced? That is where the problem is. They are not being enforced properly. The Department of Veterinary Services, as well as the Animal Welfare Board, they are not enforcing it properly. The only time you can hear of enforcement is when the story becomes viral, which means that every single time there's an animal cruelty, someone has to be standing there, taking a video, taking pictures, finding the right person, posting it on social media, everyone sharing it, it becomes a big hoo-ha. Only then is action being taken. This is untenable in the long run. The Department of Veterinary Services, as well as the Animal Welfare Board, they have to be proactive. And they have to ensure that even the smallest report action has to be taken. If there is a report that, let's say, there is a breeder who is breeding in his house, they should immediately go in and check and take action. That is not happening. And I know this because I am on the ground. I'm getting complaints every day. I'm forwarding complaints every day. And very, very little action is being taken.
So considering the that gap, right, that currently exists, what do you think would need to happen in order to overcome that, right? Like what would an ideal system look like?
An ideal system is where the chairman of the Animal Welfare Board, as well as the Department of Veterinary Services, are also animal lovers, where they take it personally. Every single time an animal is hurt or injured, they take it personally and they actually go out and try to find the person responsible and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. That is what we need. But unfortunately, what we have bureaucrats sitting there thinking that this is a desk job, pushing pens and pushing papers, and that is not getting the job done. You're not a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer where your job is just sitting in your office and doing the job. No, your job is to protect the welfare of all animals in Malaysia. And for you to do that, you must have some passion for the job, which is what we don't have. The current Department of Veterinary Services, as well as the non-existent Animal Welfare Board, they are just not doing their job. If they started prosecuting left, right, and center everyone who is committing cruelty against animals, I can guarantee you that the level of cruelty to animals in Malaysia will drop drastically.
So along with this issue of cruelty, the rise of animal abandonment during the pandemic has also been heavily highlighted. Can you help us understand some of the reasons that people abandon their pets and what the consequences are?
Abandonment of pets seems largely to be when people adopt pets when they are babies. Now, a kitten or a puppy is extremely cute. And people start sharing pictures on Instagram and their social media and, oh, so cute, oh, baby, so cute. And then they grow up. Now, when they grow up, they are big. They eat a lot. You need to take your dog for walks every day. It is a responsibility. And some people are just not ready for that responsibility. And now that the MCO is over and everyone is working, they find that they just cannot cope and they abandon it. Now, this is wrong. If you cannot cope, then you need to make sure that the dog or the cat or other pet is adopted by someone responsible. You can't just abandon the fella at the local market or just go and dump him at some shelter somewhere. Because a lot of shelters are what we know as kill shelters. They will keep the cat or the dog for a few days, then the cat or the dog will be put to sleep. So it's really cruel. So something needs to be done.
I have a lot of thoughts about this, but I just wanted to ask you, I mean, considering what you just said, right, about how, you know, puppies, kittens, incredibly cute, very appealing, what kind of checklist do you wish people would apply before choosing to adopt an animal, right? Like, what do you need to know or consider before you dedicate the next 10 years of your life, for example, to doing this?
It takes a lot of love and affection and dedication. I personally have a few cats inside my house and dogs as well, and they do take up a lot of time, not just caring for them, but loving them as well. They need a lot of attention. You need to sit down and play with your cat. They love to play with you, and your dogs as well. They completely dote on you. You are their person, and if you cannot find time, a few hours a day, to spend time with them, then you should not be having a pet in the first place. The love and affection is so important. And you need to be not just that, but you also need to be able to financially be able to support them. Because cats and dogs, you have to feed them and they fall sick sometimes and you have to take them to the vet. So the checklist to answer your question would be number one, love. Number two, affection. Number three, the necessary money to give them food. And number four, the necessary money to also take them to the vet and make sure that their health concerns are taken care of, if any.
And which are only going to complicate as they get older as well, right?
That's right. Mm. Especially if you get one of these breed dogs, like Rottweilers or German Shepherds, when they get older, they tend to have a lot of medical problems because there's a lot of unscrupulous breeding going on in Malaysia and there's a lot of interbreeding between family relations. So that results in dogs that are not of good quality. So as they grow older, they will get hip dysplasia and all cancer and all kinds of diseases. So that is very, very expensive and it's very heartbreaking to see that. My personal recommendation is go for stray dogs. Stray dogs are mongrels. They are extremely hardy. They're extremely loving. They are extremely tough. They hardly ever fall sick. And they are so beautiful. You know, I wish everyone would just adopt the stray dogs and the entire stray dog problem would be completely solved in Malaysia.
So one avenue that the Malaysian National Animal Welfare Foundation is proposing is for a pet identification and legalization of pet ownership, particularly in high-rise buildings, to counter this issue. What do you make of this idea? Would it help to foster a sense of accountability among pet owners?
Yes, definitely. This is a good idea. Because not only would people be prevented from abandoning their dogs because the dogs will be found and they will be held accountable. It is also in case your dog or cat, they get lost, then they can be found because there'll be a chip and they can actually be found and returned to the owner. So I think this would be, this is an extremely good idea. We should go ahead with this.
So what other gaps would you like to see addressed when it comes to the well-being and rights of animals in Malaysia? And what legislation would you like to see created or strengthened? I mean, I think I feel I need to add on here also your point earlier, of course, about enforcement.
Yes, I think the gap here is the enforcement. The law is fine. The enforcement is extremely, extremely weak. But there's also another one issue that perhaps I can raise. This issue is the fact that animals in Malaysia, they are considered as property, as chattel. And if you harm them or whatever, you can be charged under the Animal Welfare Act. But at the end of the day, they're still considered property. So you own a cow, you own a horse, you own a dog. That's not right. Because in my opinion, these are sentient beings. They have feelings. You know, people who own dogs know that dogs, sometimes they will, to use the Malay word, they will berajuk. They'll get upset if you sayang another dog. If you don't spend enough time with them, they have feelings. So there are a lot of countries, in fact, there are 32 countries, that have recognized animals as sentient beings. Okay, to give you an example, Austria, Australia, Belgium, Bulgaria, Chile, Croatia, Cyprus, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, New Zealand, Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Spain, Slovakia, Slovenia, Sweden, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom. Sorry for the long list. Have all recognized animals as sentient beings. They have feelings. But this has not been done in Malaysia. This is what ought to be done. Because the minute you recognize animals as being sentient beings, then you have elevated them. You cannot simply torture them. You cannot simply put them out in the sun and say, oh, that's fine, you know, there's no harm with that. It's my property. I will do with it as I like. No, there's no room for that argument. They have feelings too.
Rajesh, in closing, how else can we push for the government to enforce stricter measures for the welfare of animals?
I believe that the civil society has to speak out. Civil society has to push the agenda of animal rights further. And one of the best ways that civil society can do that is by using their social media. You don't have to leave the comfort of your home. Push for change. When your elected legislators, they know that the people are serious about it, everything else will flow naturally. And that is the first one. The second one is, if you find that the local councils are breaking the law by killing dogs, killing cats, killing stray animals, contact the lawyer nearest to you and try to file a civil suit against the local councils. They do respond to legal pressure. It is very, very difficult to actually go to court and they have to say that, oh, I killed the dog because of this reason. It's such a headache for them. Animal lovers should always push for legal action as well, and also push for the elected parliamentary representative or state representative, push for legal action when it comes to abuse of animals.
Rajesh, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
That was animal rights lawyer Rajesh Nagarajan talking to us today about what is needed in general when it comes to animal rights and well-being in our country. This is following recent cases of abuse, recent cases of abandonment. We'd like to hear from you. What would you like to see here? I mean, what kind of stricter enforcement would you like to see? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.